The city of Jaffa, Yafo in Hebrew and Yafa in Arabic, is also known as the Bride of Palestine, a very romantic name for a city made of golden stone that has stood here for thousands of years, looking over the Eastern Mediterranean.
This is how I remember Yafa from my childhood, when I came here on holiday from London with a Palestinian branch of my family, the golden city filled with pleasure. Throughout its history, Yafa has generated feelings of loyalty and love.
Jaffa was the pearl of Palestine. It was the center of education, culture, social life, commercial life, everything. You feel exalted living in Jaffa.
People living in refugee camps abroad who have not seen Yafa since they were children still sing its praises.
Yafa is wealth and glory. The country of oranges, the country of orange orchards. It was so beautiful, such a beautiful city, with a beautiful coast, just gorgeous.
The flowers of the orange trees. Yafa was completely laced with them. Every spring you would wake in the morning and smell the scent of orange blossom.
You know, in Jaffa, we were a very happy, happy city, happy family, much money.
Invaders have attacked this happy city countless times in the past 4,000 years. Some invaders have razed it to the ground. But no event has had a more devastating effect on Yafa than the one that occurred within living memory. In May 1948, most of its citizens fled the city in terror. In just a few days, a community of some 120,000 people was reduced to fewer than 4,000. As an almost undefended population fled the forces of the Zionist movement, who were fighting to establish the State of Israel. This exodus was repeated all across Palestine. It's estimated that as many as 1 million people became refugees, most of them escaping to neighboring countries, never to see their homes again. Palestinians refer to this enforced mass migration as al-Nakba, the catastrophe. 60 years ago, this wide open space was the Menshiya district of Yafa. Since the Nakba, almost all trace of Menshiya has vanished.
We are exactly where people simply erased history out from the whole area. We are at the southern part of the Menshiya neighborhood, which started, you see there, this hill. This is the old city of Yafa. You should imagine it as a crowded neighborhood with houses and people and children playing, going to the beach, people fishing. It was not a tsunami that made the Nakba. It was people from the Zionist movement who decided to expel the Palestinian people. It did not happen by nature. God is not responsible for this.
If you go to the old heart of Yafa, the Clock Tower Square, you'll see a plaque that marks the liberation of the city in May 1948. But who or what was Yafa being liberated from? As far as Palestinians are concerned, in May 1948, Yafa was liberated from its own native people.
To try and make sense of this tragic narrative, I've decided to focus on one of the main streets in Yafa. Like everywhere around here, the name has changed in recent times from the Arabic Al-Hilwi Street to Yafat Street. I still meet people who call it by its popular name, Ajami Street. Ajami Street runs like a spine through Yafa, but it also runs like a spine through the story of the Nakba. Perhaps we can give it yet another name, Palestine Street.
As I head south along the street we are calling Palestine Street, I'm greeted with a burst of life, much of it quite obviously Palestinian life. The people around me may no longer live in a proud and ancient city. In fact, Yaffa today is a down-at-heel suburb of Tel Aviv. But the memories of Yaffa before the Nakba refuse to die. Certainly, I hear stories in the street of upheaval, pain, and loss. But I also hear many accounts, spiced with humor, that evoke a vibrant, vital city. Palestine Street offers up a personal and intimate version of the Nakba, and the time before and after. A description that reaches beyond political rhetoric and the history of the Middle East conflict. Some of the people I talk to have not seen Palestine Street for 60 years, but the street has never left them. They hang on to vivid details of when they were young. I meet one man who has been forced by fate to spend most of his life in a Beirut refugee camp, but he can still summon up the names of all his neighbors.
يوسف ذرو ذر أبو زيد إبراهيم السلكاوي مطيع ونحنا والفرن.
Hajami Street was known as شارع المدارس, the street of schools. Tawfiq Gharghour, who left for Lebanon when he was a small boy, can still remember his daily journeys to school in a horse-drawn carriage.
We had to take that street going to school in the morning and coming back at night. We had to always have to pass in front of my grandfather's house. In the morning, I might see my grandfather sitting on the balcony or my grandmother doing the same.
This is the Gharghour house.
I tried to visit Tawfiq's grandfather's old house on Hajami Street with Fakhrish Day, whose pharmacy is next door.
There was a balcony here, this one. Now they destroyed it, it's no.
Frustratingly for me, the French man who now owns the house lives abroad, so I can't gain access. But I see enough to realize that the house has aged badly in the past 60 years. Every Sunday, Tawfiq would have lunch here at his grandfather's house, along with a dozen or more members of his extended family.
My grandfather would sit at the head of the table, and his sons and daughters and their in-laws would be sitting around that table. And we, the younger generation, they'll put us on smaller table where we could fight and enjoy ourselves while we're having lunch. So that was great, really. And then we were all together. We were one big family in that small village town called Jaffa at that time.
I can describe Naya almost in details, whatever I used to watch as I was in the bus going from my home to school. Like a place where you can buy falafel, or a small barber shop, or a butcher house, or something of that sort.
Shafiq Al-Hout, another exile in Beirut, knows that political realities will mean that he will never see Yaffa again. Yet the pictures in his head are fixed forever.
It is because we were uprooted from the country, because we were chased away from the country. You remember your home, you keep it in your mind. You lost it in real, but you don't want to lose it in memory.
Almost uniquely, the Andrao sisters still live together with their brother in the house where they were born, at the southern end of Hajami Street. They were separated from their widowed father by the Nakba, but after 2 years, they managed to get back home. Now they keep the house as it used to be 60 years ago, like a shrine dedicated to the memory of Yaffa. Saad Andraus remembers the happy days before the catastrophe.
We really were very resourceful children. My father enjoyed gardening and planting all sorts of vegetables in the garden and so on. And during the holidays, we would set up a shop and sell vegetables to passers-by. One day, my father was coming home, and a neighbor saw him. and said, oh, Mr. Andraus, you know, I'd like 1 kilo of tomatoes and and one this and that. He said, what? He said, but your children are selling them. And that was the end of the story.
But how many of the people exiled from Jaffa 60 years ago would recognize much of Palestine Street today? At its southern end, near where the Andraus family still live, Jewish Israelis are in the overwhelming majority. Many of them live in the rows of apartment buildings that were thrown up at high speed in the 50s and 60s to accommodate the waves of immigrants from Europe and North Africa. At this end of the street, vineyards and orange groves once stretched as far as the eye could see. But Hajime Street itself played a crucial role in the transformation from orange grove to urban sprawl. Back in the 19th century, the Ottoman Turks, who then ruled Palestine, decided to demolish the walls of the old city in the name of progress. Hajime Street was built to replace the defensive ditch and then cut southward through the rural landscape. Its purpose was to announce the arrival of modern times and encourage new development. A new Jaffa started to spread out from Hajime Street, but 60 years ago, there were still groves and vineyards within the city boundaries. Now the process is complete. Jaffa has become engulfed by the towers and sprawl of Tel Aviv, a city of 400,000 people blurring into a greater metropolis of 3 million.
Believe me, I go back to those days and I'm sad. What it was and what it's become. Jaffa was one big farm. All along the coast was planted with grapes. You could keep walking through these fields all the way to Arish in Egypt.
And here grew Palestine's most famous crop. Even today, many people around the world put the words orange and Jaffa together.